Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls and one guy. I feel like we need a little jingle.
Honestly, Jared, hello. Edit us a jingle.
Yeah.
I know it starts off with a jingle, but I think that we need maybe like an elevator music.
We can do the two girls part, and that's all bright and fun.
And then
we go into like a D minor chord or something
like
that.
Oh, sad.
Because you know what that is.
Which is one of the saddest of all keys.
I thought D minor is the saddest?
D minor. E minor is pretty sad, but I think D minor is probably saddest.
Okay, so we'll do the goth and the D minor just for Billy, just to really bring the vibe up.
I love that.
I love that too. How are we doing, guys?
I feel fantastic. I am really happy to be with you guys in person. We haven't done this in a minute.
We haven't.
It feels really good.
I know.
You know?
Especially, I mean, I just want to hug you. And I know you're like, do we have to? We've been here together for a few hours, but I've just missed you so much.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
We can't hug because then our mics would pick up on each other. Watching out for the sound of the podcast.
Yes.
You know, we're trying to sound professional. We're trying to sound like we know what we're doing when we never do.
You're right.
It's like a whole thing.
Especially our sound expert, Jared, is not here. We miss you, Jared. I know this will further confuse people's perceptions of who's with whom, but here is our truth. We miss you, Jared.
By the way, I think one of the best texts we ever got was, you know, we'll do a test for our audio and then we'll send it to Jared.
When he's not here,
We send it to Jared and Jared wrote us back 20 minutes later, said, sorry, I was on stage.
Yeah, I was like casual
for like
rock star.
5,000 screaming people.
Yeah, whoops. Sorry that your side gig.
Yeah, let me check the levels on your podcast.
That we could easily check ourselves.
I know.
Like, and I sometimes do, but again, you know, sometimes if you don't have a good ear, you don't have a good ear.
Yeah.
And we don't really want to put our listeners through that horrible, horrible hour of the sound sounding disgusting.
That's right.
Okay, well, Billy, let's just kick it off with our dark day.
All right, now, this is a dark day, September 23rd, 1969. This is when the Northern Star newspaper of Northern Illinois University published a story that claimed that Paul McCartney had been killed a few years earlier and had been replaced by a lookalike. Now, a radio station in Detroit picked up on the story, and then it went global, and the whole idea of Paul being dead was a thing. Now, they left a lot of clues in their albums and on the album cover art and also on the in some of their songs. We are going to get into that in True Crime Rewind because this was probably one of the first kind of cases I ever worked as a little kid.
Oh my God.
I loved this. I was obsessed with it.
You know what I find so fascinating about something like this is obviously 1969 is way before the internet, but how things like that traveled before there was the internet and before there was social media, because it really is through, I guess, the radio, by word of mouth.
Word of mouth is like a lost art.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know? No, I really think it was... There was a lot of misinformation, obviously, but misinformation can come out now on the internet.
I mean, there's no more misinformation than there is in 2021.
Yeah,
it's even worse now somehow.
There are a lot more, you know, gatekeepers, and there were a lot less places to find news. So if something went big, it went big, and it was pretty. It was a pretty cool time up until 20 years ago.
I have a picture of the article or the front of the newspaper or whatever it is. Should I read it now or should I wait to read it for True Crime Rewind?
You can read it now.
Okay, so, and we'll post this on social media. So it says, Paul McCartney is dead, the great hoax.
What?
Collector's edition, Special Beatles, whatever magazine. It says, Paul's mysterious double. Who is he? The death clues. How the public found out. The Beatle death curse. Why did the Beatles keep Paul's death a secret? And then it's the three Beatles kind of in the corner. And then Paul zoomed in really looking sad, like looking over to the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sad, probably stoned. But yeah.
But I'm definitely stoned. I wonder how much something like this goes on eBay for. It probably is so fucking expensive.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So we are going to get into this whole thing and the clues and everything. It'll blow your mind. And the one thing about this is that the Beatles would never even acknowledge it. And I think they must have made a pact like that they're going to take this to their graves because they definitely were messing with us.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's the original trolling.
Mm-hmm.
I can get behind it. All right, well, we're going to jump into that later, but until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Hella bitching.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand. I will describe what On the Stand is to you, our listeners, because some of you get a little bit confused. So for On the Stand, we're each bringing a person, place, thing, or idea, something on the stand that, you know, has really been taking up space in our brain. And we are going to bring our opinions about said thing to the stand.
Yes.
We're either prosecuting it or defending it. And then at the end, we're going to vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Now, to remind everybody, we're voting if the thing that we're bringing on the stand is guilty or not guilty. So yes. If I'm bringing guacamole on the stand, I'm going to say what I feel about guacamole. At the end, it's going to be like, do I like guacamole? Yes or no? Guilty or not guilty?
Is guacamole good or is guacamole bad? Let's see. And there's three people here, so there's always a unanimous verdict.
There always is.
No, I'm sorry. No. There's always a verdict where somebody wins because there's two on one.
Because we're sheep.
There's never a tie.
Sorry. Unanimous was not the right word for that.
No, it wasn't. And I just went along with it because I wasn't really listening.
Honestly, that's the power of just people not paying attention at all.
Of just fucking acting like you know what you're
saying.
That's
honestly what I was trying to demonstrate. So forget what I just did.
All right. Well, who wants to go first?
Okay. So I am going to go first since no one interrupted me and everyone's done with this. there was something I've been meaning to bring up for a long time.
Okay.
And Jacqueline, you're not going to like this.
Oh, shit.
I'm putting on the stands and I am defending and I am propping up as like a beacon of hope is Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, my God.
Just the restaurant of the champions.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Honestly, I love Cheesecake Factory. It's one of my favorites. And every time Jack's like, hey, girl, let's go to dinner. I mean, she doesn't really text like this, but it's fine. I'm like, hey, Jack, do you want to get dinner? And she's like, yeah, that would be great. Let's do a happy hour somewhere cute. I'm like, yeah, like the Cheesecake Factory at the marina. And she's like, no. I'm like, yes. And then I remember we went to a music festival in San Diego and we were like riding birds around and I was like, hey, look, there's a Cheesecake Factory. And she did bend. She went and she was like, this is good. But every time I see Jack, I'm like, let's go to Cheesecake Factory. And she wants to go somewhere like boutique and cute. But I'm telling you, Cheesecake Factory is everything you need.
Yeah.
I agree with this.
Thank you.
I am not ragging on Cheesecake Factory. I also do love what I like to call Pangea.
They're two breads.
It has every cuisine that you could ever imagine. And it's all pretty good.
It's great.
It's not bad. Everything's great. That brown bread that they give you, there's nothing like it.
Forget this. But the sourdough is also amazing.
It's great. I love Cheesecake Factory. My whole thing is we don't actually get together to like have a cute little happy hour often because we're usually just working and like we're ordering in, and I like to make things like a
special,
like a nice little special thing
somewhere we've never been. And I really like appreciate that spot. She's making it like a romance, like she's like,
it's like a date.
Honestly, if she were your partner, you'd be so grateful. I think it's because I think I'm taking you for granted because I'm like, let's go to Cheesecake Factory, and it's like, we haven't been together for 30 years. We should be going above and beyond.
Yeah. And the last time that we got together, we went to Cheesecake Factory.
Okay. But what about next time? Can we go again? And then can we take a break? Because like I've been asking for a while to go back and you've been denying it.
Listen, I think that the masses will probably agree that Cheesecake Factory is amazing.
Amazing.
There's nothing like it. I can't think of a bad meal that I've had there.
No. And here's the great thing about Cheesecake Factory. Big portions.
Huge portions.
All about the big portions. When I go to a place, I don't care how good the food is. If it's not enough food, I'm not happy.
But you guys don't big like portions. Leftovers. Big portions are good for me because I like leftovers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I don't like leftovers.
So then what is a good, what's the point of a big portion?
I will eat the entire thing when I'm there.
You are a psychopath.
Because I only have like, you know, one meal a day.
I love Cheesecake Factory.
Okay, yes.
I'm so glad. Jacqueline, you and I are finding each other once again. You've been gone for 6 weeks, and I'm like, we're finally, like, the magnets we are coming back together.
I was never gone.
You were, and I missed you desperately. I was like, are we still aligned? And now I'm realizing, yes, we are.
We've always been aligned, and I've always loved Cheesecake Factory.
And honestly, woman is a psychic. She's in my brain. Whenever I'm like, hey, Jacqueline needs to talk to you about something, she's like, yeah, I already know. This and this. And I'm like, what the fuck? She's in my head.
I literally am in your head.
Yeah.
I am you. Okay. Cheesecake Factory, not guilty.
Not guilty.
And if anybody out there says guilty,
we want your arguments. Yeah. We want to hear why you think it's bad.
Somebody might say that the menu is too big.
That's only good.
But how is that a bad thing?
Because options?
Because how can somebody be that good at so many different things? If you go to a diner on Long Island, where they have like every bit of food possible. Like, how can any of this food be fresh? Because, you know, no one's ordering the lobster.
I mean, I definitely have my things that I order from Cheesecake Factory, and I don't really stray from what I know.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
On to the next.
Okay. This is a good on the stand.
I'm ready. I can't wait.
And I'm pretty sure I got it from the Facebook group. Somebody had posted about it. And I was like, you know what? This actually is something that I have a very passionate opinion about. And that is the flat sheet on a bed.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see the point of a flat sheet. I hate a flat sheet. I don't have one on my bed. Anytime that there is one on a bed, I take it off. It just gets in the way.
You take it off?
Yes.
Oh, see.
I need a fitted sheet and a comforter, a duvet. That's all I need. I don't understand. It's weird. It gets all tangled up in your shit. It falls off the bed. Then you have another thing you have to make in the morning. I don't see the point of a flat sheet. I think it's old and antiquated. Maybe it had a purpose back in the day. Maybe not. Maybe it was just like an extra.
Well, it had a purpose.
Like a doily.
It had a purpose back
doily.
In the day. It was they used the flat sheet because it would save people from werewolves.
Mm.
I'm reading it on Wikipedia right now.
Yeah.
So I have my own opinion on this. I do think from a practical sense, I think it's a lot easier to wash sheets than it is to wash a duvet or to wash a comforter. So I think it was like a barrier between, and like, I think people used to sleep with their animals. I think dogs used to sleep in bed, and in the blanket on top was sort of like it was more exposed to the elements and stuff. And I think the clean sheet as the like, hey, this is clean and it's between me and the duvet is probably where that comes from.
Or maybe back in the day when people were using just quilts.
Yes, quilts. You can't, and it's probably really hard, and it takes nights to dry. Like, imagine you're a pilgrim or something, and hand washing a quilt. Remember, it had those like graded metal things, and you saw them washing it against
a washboard.
Yeah, it took weeks to dry a full dense quilt, and like a sheet dries in like a few hours. So I think probably it was just a buffer between the thick blanket and the fitted sheet. I think now in our modern times, I hear you.
Mm.
But if you have a dog or something sleeping on your bed, I think you need a sheet.
Okay. I won't have one.
I love a sheet.
You love a top sheet.
I love a top
sheet. Okay. So I say top sheet, guilty, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Wow. And I love a dust truffle. Very antiquated, but here for it.
Ew.
Give me a fucking dust ruffle. My mom would be so proud. I want a dust ruffle and a top sheet.
I love that for you.
A duvet cover.
I would never think of a scenario I would ever be in that I'd want a dust ruffle.
So many dust ruffles.
Good for you.
All right. I'm going to put something on the stand that is incredibly controversial. It will probably be the most controversial thing you'll ever hear out of my mouth.
Oh.
Aioli.
Gross.
Aioli. Okay, yuck. Let's dive in.
First of all, No. Sorry, Billy, I know this is yours, but I think everyone's definition of aioli is different. So I think we should go around and... Jacqueline, what is aioli to you?
I mean, aioli is a mayonnaise mixed with something.
Generally garlic.
Mm-hmm. Generally garlic, which is why I don't generally like aioli. I always have it on the side. But sometimes I get delightfully surprised, and it might be just a lemon aioli without any garlic.
Lemon aioli.
So it's literally lemon and mayonnaise. Lemon mixed
mayo. Yeah. Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Well, according to Wikipedia, since about 1990, which is very specific,
and relatively new, 30 years.
It has become common in the United States to call all flavored mayonnaises aioli.
Oh, so it's just a flavored mayo. It's like a spicy mayo.
Well, that's what we're calling it. Listen, we should never take what we say in America.
But call it lemon mayo. Like, why are you trying to jazz up this American classic?
I know. It really, aioli is, it's kind of like polishing a turd.
And it sounds like areola, frankly. Are you trying to rouse me or stimulate my taste buds?
Listen, there's only...
aioli is arousing.
There's only one sort of mayonnaise adjacent, condiment, and that would be Miracle Whip.
Ew.
And that's the one for me.
What is Miracle Whip? Is that just mayonnaise in a weird...
It's like the worst mayonnaise for you that exists.
Mayonnaise with a tangy zip.
What's a tangy zip?
A tangy zip of Miracle Whip. Yeah.
Wait, learn that from the commercial?
Is Miracle Whip a lemon aioli?
No. It's like before all of this aioli jazz, it was mayonnaise, but it had like a little bit of a zing to it.
Zing.
A zing in the way it's whipped or a zing in the taste?
Did you say whip?
Whip.
Cool whip.
Are we doing a Family Guy reference?
Yes. Cool whip. Cool whip. That's what I was thinking of, is Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Yes, Cool Whip is different. Miracle Whip is a sauce.
Cool Whip is like a whipped cream.
I know what Cool Whip is.
Do you?
Yes.
Because you thought it was Miracle Whip for a second.
All right.
Miracle Whip is... 88 years old.
It's Jesus. It's a blended mayonnaise and less expensive salad dressing, sometimes called boiled dressing.
Ew.
Yeah, they shouldn't put that in anything. Right.
Also,
there.
You know what? Miracle Whip has garlic in it, so I am not into it. Mm. Definitely not into it. So, so the thoughts about aioli, it's just too broad.
I need more information. I want a here's your chicken wing with a lemon zest mayonnaise. I'd be like, yes or no. A generic aioli, it could be like mayonnaise mixed with carcass. Mayonnaise mixed with your fucking sadness. Mayonnaise mixed with fucking brandy. Like, I need more aioli's not enough of an identifier for me.
By the way, I'm sorry, but the Wikipedia page for Miracle Whip has the most amazing picture. And
ew.
A sample of Miracle Whip in the Parkway
it's
Village section
sick
of Ewing
dollar.
Township.
That
County,
is the most...
Wait, Alexis, say that again. Billy?
Sick,
no, not you. A Billy.
Sick dollop.
Sick dollop?
It's a dollop of aioli. It's so gross. It says a sample of Miracle Whip in the Parkway Village section of Ewing Township,
Mercer County, New Jersey. It's incredibly like you really
so
need
specific.
It.
So specific. So specific. Honestly, and it's like, it's not
bravo.
Like a... You know how a dollop sometimes looks satisfying? Like,
yeah.
It's perfect. Like, it's Salvador Dali, like dollop, like a perfect looking. This is like a gross, sort of a biology looking dollop where it's like cellular. It's hateful.
No,
I hate it.
No, this is something that would come in your dream.
You guys,
it would attack you in your dreams.
I hate it.
I did just Google Heinz ketchup, and I looked at their Wikipedia page, and it is also a dollop of ketchup.
It's sickening.
And it says a sample of Heinz tomato ketchup in the Dulles section of Sterling, Loudoun County, Virginia.
Honestly,
wow.
That looks like a lesion. That looks like a skin lesion.
But my point is, they're giving you the exact point of location where the sample was taken.
Yes, because it could have been, if it was someplace else, it would have been completely different.
Okay, well, that looks like a lesion, and that looks like something you extracted from someone who had cancer. That looks like a biopsy.
Ew.
The aioli dollop.
That's his Miracle Whip dollop.
Okay.
The Miracle Whip looks like cancer.
Okay.
And the lesion is the ketchup.
All right. Anyways,
I'm really sorry. This isn't a food podcast.
Aioli? Yeah, guilty. Get it out of here.
Wait, what? Aioli?
Yeah, I'm going guilty.
I'm going guilty. Yeah. I want to just mayo with the flavor tint.
Yeah, just give me mayo. Yeah.
I want more information.
Call it what it is.
Guilty.
All right, there you go.
Prosecuted, gone for life, out you go, death penalty. Aioli's out.
All right, well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
I've been incredibly excited to do this one. This is True Crime Rewind. We're going to be talking about the Paul McCartney death hoax. Now, here is the story that people came up with. The theory was that on November 9th, 1966, Paul McCartney was in a recording session. He got upset. He stormed out. He gets in his car. And at some point, he gets into an accident that kills him. Now, the Beatles actually replace Paul McCartney with a lookalike, sometimes known, identified as William Campbell or Billy Shears. Now, there is a little truth to this rumor because McCartney had crashed a moped in 1965, but it doesn't matter, though, because this is what would happen before the internet, before Snopes, is that it just kept building and building. Now,
wait, and by the way, this moped accident, he got a chipped tooth.
He did get a chipped tooth.
That was his injury.
And he's, listen, he was the cute beetle. Now, I'm
he
gonna,
was? What about Ringo?
What?
Paul, everybody thought Paul was the cute one.
I'm into Ringo.
Really?
No. my grandfather, my uncle, who we actually, he's ostracized from the family.
Okay.
But when I was growing up, he bought a drum set that was Ringo's.
Ooh.
And it was in my house. Mm-hmm. So I would hug the drum set and be like, Ringo's here.
Mm. I love you see my uncle who's ostracized from the family.
We hate him. Just if you're listening, Uncle Paul, you're not. You're out of the well, too.
Oh, my God.
All right. Now, I have
brought... This is my truth.
Wait. Sorry. Before you jump into the album...
Yes.
I don't know if you looked this up, if there's any relevance. So the fake Paul was named William Campbell, or his like nickname was Billy Shears.
Billy Shears.
Does this have any relevance, do we know? Or is that just like what people ended up
making Billy up? Shears is right before... Billy Shears is the person who sings... I get by with a little help with my friends. At the end of Sgt. Pepper's, they introduce Billy Shears, and that's kind of like the joke.
Oh.
Which, meanwhile, it's actually Ringo that's singing that song.
So they're just, was that them trolling at that point?
So we're going to get, okay, we're going to get to the trolling.
Okay,
so now, I have brought visual aids. We will show these on the Facebook group and on Instagram. Now, if you look at Sgt. Pepper, they are at a grave site.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yeah.
It's the Beatles decided to create a band called the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They wanted to like do something different. They also were smoking a lot of marijuana.
Yeah.
Now, they did a album cover where they had them at a grave, standing over it, dressed in these sort of military band outfits.
They look like all pirates.
All neon,
they
different
look like
colors.
Pirates.
Yes. And then they also have about 60 or 70 famous people's, like, their cutouts behind them, including, like, Mae West. They have the old Beatles right there, and they're sad as well. And they're over this grave. Now, if you take a look at the grave, there's a bass guitar on the grave. What did Paul play? Paul played bass.
Mm.
There's also a hand over Paul's head, which was a sign of death in some religion.
Cultures.
Yes. Okay, now... This was so. Now, if you flip open the Sgt. Pepper's, if anybody's had it, there's a gatefold. It is all of the Beatles there. Paul is in the front. Paul has a black arm badge, which is supposedly meaning death. Here's the thing, though. Why is Paul backwards?
On the back of it.
On the back of it.
So on the back of the album, there is all of the lyrics of all their songs.
Yes.
And then there is like a hyperimposed like image of them. George, John, and Ringo are facing forward. Paul is facing backwards.
Yes. And
bizarre.
George has his thumb up pointing at the line from She's Leaving Home, Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. That's when he supposedly
died.
Wow.
All right.
Okay,
so
that's Sgt. Pepper's.
But
this was made before he died.
No, this was made right. This would have made
so
during
do you think,
it.
Did you think his team did this to mess with everyone?
Oh, yeah. Because
okay,
then
so they wanted to lean into it because we know obviously like there's been a lot of theory and controversy about whether there's like subliminal sort of messages in there, right? So do you think they're amplifying that this?
Okay. Absolutely. So then you get the Magical Mystery Tour. You open up the Magical Mystery Tour, which was really an outcrop of Sgt. Pepper's. All four of them, there's a picture of all four of them wearing white suits with red flowers. Paul's got a black one.
Wow.
So this is like, we haven't even gotten to the big stuff yet. So this is the trolling. We've got I Am the Walrus. We also got Strawberry Fields Forever, which we're going to play.
There was a few different songs where if you play them backwards, there is this subliminal messaging.
Yes. Do you want to play them?
No, real quick though, I loved that. They've tried to bring this into sort of a contemporary situation. Wasn't Josie and the Pussycats, that movie, Do you guys remember this movie?
Yes.
I do know the movie.
But like that was their thing. Like Josie and the Pussycats. It was like Tara Reid was like one of the stars of it. But their whole thing was like you played stuff in reverse and it was controlling the population. And I feel like obviously that wasn't a winner, but I do like that they're trying to channel this, like what they were actually doing.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were doing it without the digital components we have is amazing.
Do you want to talk about Abbey Road?
All right, well, do we want to listen to the music first, or we want to do Abbey Road? Because Abbey Road, they just basically said, we're not going to be subtle about this at all.
No.
We are just going to go for it. All right, here's what they did. So, front cover of Abbey Road, one of the most famous
iconic
covers of all time, right?
Actually, Jacqueline recreated this in one of your Instagram posts from like 10 years ago.
Well, so does literally everybody that goes to London.
Listen, I haven't, but you did. And you're like my social media like inspiration.
Yes.
All right. Now, they're walking across a crosswalk on Abbey Road, which is where the studio was. Mm-hmm. They're all dressed in different outfits. John is the is dressed in white. So...
all white, representing the priest.
Yes. Ringo is dressed in black.
Representing the Undertaker.
Whoa.
George is dressed in all denim, the Canadian tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
He's the gravedigger.
Yep.
Paul is the dead guy. Why is Paul the dead guy? He's got a cigarette in his hand. He's got no shoes on. He's wearing a suit, and he's walking out of step with everybody else. Also, you see that Volkswagen Bug, which is right behind
them? Ted Bundy's?
It's not Ted Bundy's Volkswagen Bug.
But it looks like it.
But I'm sure there's probably some theory that's out there with that. The license plate says 28 if.
Mm-hmm.
People have seen the original, and he would have been 28 at the time of this album if he hadn't have died. People have seen the original picture. They superimposed the 28 if.
Oh, really?
So they really were messing with us. All right. Now, can we play? This is where I think you can hear, I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear anything with anything.
Yeah.
So at the end of... what do you have keyed up?
I mean, I have Revolution 9 played backwards.
All right, Revolution 9 played backwards. Revolution 9 was a esoteric piece of music on the White Album by John Lennon.
Okay, here we go. And when you play this backwards, it allegedly says...
Don't tell her, don't tell her.
Okay.
Number 9, Honey Onderman.
Now, Alexis has never heard that before. Alexis, what did you think that sounded like?
Gibberish.
Gibberish. People say it's Turn Me On, Dead Man.
And once you have that in your mind, when you hear it, it's, you know what's so funny is now it reminds me of these TikToks where it's like, what do you hear? Do you hear? It's like, what was the fucking
one?
It's insane.
I don't know, but it's crazy. Okay, now let's hear the very end of Strawberry Fields Forever.
Great.
What people say that was John saying, I buried Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't in reverse. And that was at the end of Strawberry Fields, which used to scare the hell out of me as a kid just because it's just so creepy. Now, he apparently actually was saying cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce?
Cranberry sauce.
Neither makes sense.
Was this, and obviously this was not in the lyrics of any of these songs.
No.
It was just them...
It's just, he wouldn't admit if he buried his friend, and cranberry sauce also doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So like how intelligent everyone thinks they are with like cracking that code, yeah. I think maybe not.
Yeah. All right, last one. So in the song, I'm So Tired, this is another backwards clue, but allegedly it says, Paul is dead. I miss him, miss him, miss him. So we're going to play that right now.
So there you have it. You decide for yourself. Were the Beatles messing with us? I definitely think they were. I think the album cover art is overt. I think you could hear whatever you want to hear in some of that backward stuff. But, bottom line is that if Paul really did die, he did his best work from 1966 to 1970. So it's not like...
Didn't miss much.
Yeah, exactly. So he has, of course, said, the rumors all are bull and everything like that. But there you have it. That is the Paul is Dead hoax.
I just have to say, I love a troll. So if they were fucking with us this entire time, more power to them.
Yeah.
How fun must that be? And then to never acknowledge it ever again.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's the best to fuck with people like that.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling.
Especially when they were under such a microscope and like they were getting, they were burning Beatles albums because John had said the Beatles are more popular than Jesus, you know, and all mm-hmm. that. So it's just like, this was them just going, you know what? We're not going to tour anymore. We're just going to mess with your heads.
Love it.
And honestly, for those of you who are not super familiar with the Beatles and these conspiracy theories, welcome to the club. congratulations in that you have so much to dive into, because I'm also fascinated and I don't know enough and I want to know better, because honestly, it's a pop culture sort of phenomenon that you should familiarize yourself with. So I challenge you to do it. I'm going to do it. On to the next.
On to the next. What's yep. coming up now?
Now we are going to hear about the worst things that you people have done. Much worse than trying to say that Paul is dead.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Worsty firsty is for those of you who've been waiting for this special, special segment of this podcast, the time has come. we welcome you, sinners, people insecure about what you may have done that have been perceived as bad. It's not as bad as you think, and we're here to reassure you of that. So as a reminder, real quick, if you want to do a confessional of sorts to our podcast, we need you to call us. The number is 323-539-3516. Friendly reminder, it will cut off about 2 minutes 49 seconds. We need you to call back and give the second part of your story, third, fourth, fifth, however long it takes, call us back. Please give it to us. I brought it up last episode, and I'm saying this just in case she doesn't hear me. We had a story who it was about egging a house, not spray painting a house, and the fish section at a grocery store. If you didn't hear us last episode, I need you to call us back and give us the rest of the story. I'm sorry. I am doubling down. I need the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But anyways, we are here for the firsty worsties, for your confessions. And we're going to go right freaking now.
Hi, firsties. So this is in regards to the worst thing that I've done. So my boyfriend and I we've been together for a while. And at the beginning of our relationship, we were in a long distance relationship, about 5 hours between us to be exact. So one weekend when we decided to meet up, my dad had invited us out to go camping. And of course, anytime we would go out together or we'd spend time together, there was a little bit of, lovemaking. But this time we were like, you know, why not? Let's go camping. Let's have a good time. So we went up to the mountains with my dad. My dad had a camp trailer that he pulled up there for us to all stay in. And he didn't care if we slept in the same bed, luckily, just because, you know, it would be the entire weekend with my dad there. So the chances of, you know, lovemaking happening is slim to none. Well, the second night we were there, we all settle in for bed. My dad's asleep. He's got a sleep apnea machine, so it's really, really, like, loud in there. And I just get a little urge to, you know, try a little something. And I grab my boyfriend's hand and put it on my boob, and we ended up having sex in the camp trailer with my father, feet away from us, with a sleep apnea mask on. To this day, my father does not know that this happened, and this is something that my now fiance and I barely even talk about because it is so cringy that we can't bring it up. Anyways, thanks for the laughs. Have a good day.
Yes. I mean, what I love about when I think sleep apnea machine, what I hear is Darth Vader.
Yes. Yeah. Know? Exactly.
Right.
A sleep apnea machine is very intense.
Yes. And I'm just like, okay, what you heard was a sleep apnea machine. What you could actually like translate it to is like Darth Vader is like
yeah.
over you. And if you didn't sleep together, the universe could have imploded.
Wow. You just wrote some weird fan fiction right there.
That's right.
Yeah. I love that. I think that this is something that happens to most people, or that most people will experience in their lives.
They sleep near their dad because they have a sleep apnea machine?
No, but like maybe like have like a sneaky sex around a parent.
A family member.
I haven't. Just throwing that out
there. I haven't near a parent either.
That's... No, but I bet a lot of people have.
Listen, it's what you had to do when everybody was living in the same room in like in Little House in the Prairie and shit. You know, that's it's true. Like,
I don't get it in when you can.
They weren't having sex before marriage then, I don't think.
Yeah, they were.
Really?
They were? Little House in the Prairie?
You can't not be fucking, dude. People were having sex all the time. They just pretended
when
like they weren't.
When you lived on the prairie, there wasn't another house for like 200 miles.
That's right. So, you had like to have sex in that one house.
Yeah. One man. No, but like there was no men to have sex with.
They'd figure it out.
Yeah, they'd figure it
okay.
out.
Okay. There's a penis, there's a way.
Girl, what we're trying to tell
all right.
you
we
is
just,
that.
We just had, by the way, 5 merch ideas within the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, but you have to know that, like, listen, you obviously weren't in deep, deep, deep love. And mm-hmm. you got to take life by the balls.
Yes.
And to have it when you can. And you know what? Your dad was inundated by sleep apnea devices.
And honestly, he was probably so fucking knocked out.
Unconscious.
He's yeah. basically dead.
Well, honestly, what I know about sleep apnea is that, like, basically you're dead because you're not
breathing.
You're not breathing. And, like,
so you he's half dead.
Yeah.
He was not there. And I think that was kind of you to do it in that state. And honestly, that weird device made it so he could not have possibly heard. So you were absolved of your guilt.
Yes.
Yeah, he was basically creating his own white noise machine. So he was in his own little cocoon.
Because it actually says on the machine that it will block out noises of your daughter having sex.
Frankly, away from you. Frankly, he invited you and your boyfriend. He knew it was up.
That's right.
It's all good. On to the next. Worsty firsty.
Hi, this is John. I'd like to tell you about my worst thing I've ever done. In high school, I was on in-school suspension, and they would have us go to the bathroom in between class breaks so we weren't around our other classmates in the hallway goofing off. So each bathroom break, I would take a leak on the toilet paper on all 5 stalls, and we had no doors on our toilet stalls, just partitions. So at the end of the day, I was taking a leak in the urinal this time. And I noticed some guy was in the back corner, toilet, having explosive diarrhea. And I have no idea to this day who this was, but all I know is I flipped the light out on my way out. And I feel kind of bad, but yet I still crack up to this day thinking about it. Could have been my best friend. It could have been a teacher. It could have been a custodian. It could have been just some guy. I don't have a clue who it was. But he was having explosive diarrhea, and the lights got cut out on him while he had urine piss-soaked toilet paper to try to clean up with. So I feel kind of bad, but I do still laugh maniacally every time I think about it. Thank you.
I want to go. First of all, it's always really weird when you hear a guy's voice.
But because also, he sounded like a cowboy
yes.
in like the 1950s.
He sounds hot.
He sounds hot, and like he should be wearing spurs.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, and who are you?
And he's like, John's like, I've seen some shit.
How did you find our podcast? Yes. You seem like you should be listening to
honestly,
like...
If you're listening to our podcast, will you promote it on your Instagram or Facebook or whatever so your friends listen? Because like we need more male listeners, mm-hmm. and you're like the kind of male listener we want.
I want to know what you look like. Like, yeah. I have so many questions beyond just your story.
Yes,
honestly,
beyond
you have
the story.
A sexy voice. Do you want a podcast? Because we can make that happen.
We can figure something out.
Yeah.
Okay, now to the story.
To the story.
Creative, in a sense.
Yes.
Pissing on all of the...
stalls of toilet paper.
5 stalls of toilet paper.
Which, honestly...
Which is crazy because... I'm sorry, because this is... I'm going to use my male experience. You got to... He's going to go... and then hold it, then go to the next one.
I know.
Go and then hold it. And go to the next one, go and hold it, which is crazy.
And if any women are listening out there, might we remind you again that the only reason a man needs toilet paper is if they're taking a shit. So this is not like a drip dry situation. They need that toilet paper.
Yes.
To move on with their day.
He's pissing on it to spite the other men who maybe need to like go number two.
And then he had the, in which he said explosive diarrhea twice. Thank you very much for that, John.
I really appreciate that.
Yes.
I'm like super squeamish with that stuff.
We know. But yes. But then he shuts off the lights too. But I love the fact that, listen, the guy got out of it. I love the fact that John can think about it and still laugh, because those are like the great moments in life when you're just like, because
it's harmless. We've all been there. Like,
another victimless crime.
Honestly, everyone's found themselves. I mean, it's very Elaine Bennis. Like, can you spare a square? No. Some people have found themselves alone with no squares to spare. People have found themselves with piss soaked toilet paper. There's nothing to, like, you have to improvise.
Yeah.
You might have to like waddle in a weird way to your car and get home in a way you didn't expect. Get right in the shower. Like, we've all been there.
We've been on the receiving end of this.
Yes.
In some way or another, you know, metaphorically or not.
Yeah. So
not metaphorically. So we've
John,
all been there.
So John, it wasn't that bad until we get somebody to call up like, yeah, I had explosive diarrhea, and somebody turned off the lights.
Toilet paper.
And I missed then, my child's birth, and then my wife left me.
My wife left me.
Yeah, and then I missed a job interview that kind of changed my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay my taxes, and I was the DJ.
And now I'm arrested.
And now I'm in jail.
And I'm homeless.
Yeah.
Unhomed.
Yes.
On to the next worsty firsty.
Yes.
What's up, guys? So, when I was 14 years old, I was pretty bad. I was partying a little bit and hanging out with the wrong crowd. So I'll never forget, it was the second day of school on my sophomore year of high school. And it was a Tuesday night, and I told my parents I was going to church. And instead, me and my sister threw a party at my grandparents' house, because they were on a trip to Mexico, so their house was empty. So we said we were going to church. We ended up throwing this rager at my grandparents' house, my sweet grandma. And then I ended up getting, like, so drunk. I drank so much brandy that night. Was just trying to, like, crawl up the stairs and just get to bed. And I get caught. And so my parents were like shocked that I was in this state. I had been drinking for a few years, smoking, doing all that stuff for a few years, but all behind my parents' back. So they had no idea that I was like a bad kid. And like, I don't remember much from the night, but I do remember vividly, like, my mom crying and my dad crying, like, they were just shocked that their, like, precious little kids were, like, doing these things. And so we go to bed, whatever. I wake up the next day. They didn't send me to school. I woke up perfectly fine, no hangover, nothing. And I was just like, crap, what? I need to figure out my story. I need to, like, what were we doing there? Who had the alcohol? Like, I was, like, you know, making sure that I could, like, lie my way out of this somehow. They come home that day from work, and they're like, you know, we need to talk, and, you know, what's going on, et cetera. Basically, like, my whole life, like, they shut it down. Like, I was not allowed to hang out with friends. I was not allowed to go anywhere except school and home, and it stayed that way until, like, I was 18. So for 4 years, I was on lockdown. So, like, totally regret it. Like, ruined my life for, you know, my teenage years. But basically, all I did was have to get more sneaky. I still started, like, continued being bad. But, yeah, that was the worst thing I've ever done, because I had to apologize to my grandparents.
Okay, so I did so much worse than you and I suffered way fewer repercussions. You didn't deserve to have your whole life ruined
Four
and canceled.
Years.
Like, your parents never let up after that?
That's so sad. That's
did your parents ever live themselves? Like, that is ridiculous.
I mean, for parents to actually believe that you were going to church on a Tuesday night.
No.
Is that was the excuse?
That was the excuse.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to church on a Tuesday night, and then they go to their grandparents' house and then throw a rager. So, obviously, the parents are a little naive to begin with.
Yeah.
But then to go that hardcore for 4 years, you got to be, you know.
You can't cut somebody off that hard. They're just going to go so far the other way.
Exactly.
It's like you're just going to rage that much harder.
I just truly hope as an adult, like you have like a nice deep voice. Like I hope you found your groove and I hope you lived your sweet, sweet rebellious life in your own adhering way.
And
like you also didn't break all the rules.
Yeah.
Like I hope you found a medium that worked for you.
I also hope that you have found a new drink of choice.
Than brandy.
Brandy is not the way. It's not the path.
No, brandy is something that you have a cigar and a brandy at the end of a meal.
No one has brandy. No. Billy.
You don't.
Have you ever even tried brandy?
Yes, I have. And when I was on the Titanic, they had, they had cigars and brandy.
That was really
remember?
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So. But you don't drink brandy like to get drunk. That's not a thing.
No, it's like an aperitivo. It's like an after dinner.
I used to like get wasted on like Southern Comfort.
I'm sorry, Jacqueline. Do you remember when you used to drink Goldschlager together? Yeah, it was like our thing. Me and Jack used to drink Goldschlager when we were 20.
Yeah, Goldschlager's
the
shit.
We're like in our 30s now, obviously.
I don't regret drinking Goldschlager.
No, Jack is already packing up to leave because she's like, I'm offended by this whole conversation.
Don't talk shit on Goldschlager. It will have a comeback. Mark my words.
Honestly, we had a delight.
Those gold flakes.
We said it was like Christmas morning.
They really cut up your esophagus and get you drunker.
Yes.
That's what they told me.
Well, listen.
Did they really?
No.
I bet you, Grandma.
The guy at the store.
Hey.
No, it was just like a myth that
everybody
passed around.
Oh,
yeah.
How is that going to, like, it's going to cut up your throat and get you.
It gives you little cuts to your.
It's like coughing when you're smoking weed. It's like
exactly.
It gets you high.
Yeah, same thing.
But honestly, you and your grandparents seems like the whole thing's been reconciled.
Yeah.
You should not beat yourself up. Honestly, I had the craziest ragers when I was in high school. I can't believe my parents don't speak to me, and I see why. But it's because I had so many parties and shit like that.
I'm sure that's the reason why they don't speak to you.
Yeah, that's before that. It was way deep ingrained into their subconscious.
Yeah.
Generational trauma and shit.
But I hope that you will one day have your own grandkids, and then you'll go out of town, and then they'll have a rager at your house.
Yeah, and you forgive them.
Yes.
When they do this.
Honestly, that's not why your family doesn't talk to you. It's because there's some other fucked up shit happening.
Yeah,
there always is.
And you know what? I bet they're talking to you now, but you know what? We love you.
We love you.
And if you want to throw a party together,
come to LA.
We need help.
We need help.
Motivate.
You know what? You can help us pass out the brandy at our first degree party.
Yes.
Seriously, because we're all sort of antisocial in a way. So like we need help. We need help us throw our rager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeehaw, baby.
We love
all
you.
Right.
All right, Lex.
Your time to shine.
Is it next?
It's time.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Do I not even stop because it's time?
It's time.
Okay. So we discussed. You guys are all used to the fact that we do the Costanza stanza. And if you listened last week, you heard that I'm changing it up. I'm trying to rotate between the characters in Seinfeld and really find a groove. I'm trying to give George a break.
Yes.
And last week we did The Disdain of Elaine.
Which was great.
It was incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Really
good. I got some feedback that may have been a little long. So
no, it was long in a good way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, tonight we're doing a Jerry-centric poem.
Okay.
It's called Jerry Despairy. Despairy means his despair.
Yes.
I got you. Yes.
I mean, you guys know. I just want to make sure everyone's clear. So this poem is called Jerry Despairy, and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I know I seem really quite merry, but the truth is that I'm Jerry Despairy. The smile I wear, these jokes that I tell, it's a disguise I wear, and not particularly well. To mask the fact that I'm dying inside, I'm a miserable bastard with tears in my eyes. Newman taunts me, and few women want me. And the women that do find me alluring have characteristics that aren't reassuring. Massive hands, Shit personalities. Each of them, my romantic casualties. And then there's Elaine, who is pretty profane. And she dances like she's truly insane. Yet she overtakes most of my brain. Maybe she is a true source of my pain. She haunts my thoughts like a miserable fairy, which leads me to a conclusion that's wary, a truth that is especially scary. Elaine is the reason I'm sad to spare Jerry.
Elaine.
It's your fault, Elaine.
I love it.
Bye.
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 Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.